never lie to you, and that's a fact. But I'll never forget the way you feel right now. Oh no, no way. And I would do anything for love, but I won't do that. No, I won't do that.
Oh yeah, that was Marvin Lee, A Day, better known as Meatloaf. And he had died at the age of 74. We thought we would play I'd Do Anything for Love. That's one of his big hits. Apparently, surrounded by family, he died at the age of 74. His career spanned six decades. He even popped up in some movies, including The Rocky Picture Show and Wayne's World. And the Fight Club. So a sad day for people in the rock genre with the passing of Meatloaf. Good morning. Welcome to Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show. I am Paul Molloy, along with my partner, Big Ed Davis. We thank you for joining us. It is Friday, January the 21st. Wow. In a few minutes, Ed Golly is going to join us. He is co-host of The Voice of Reason, and they are heard on Tantalk every Thursday, 10 a.m. We're going to talk about the price of gas and the rise of inflation, and can we blame it on Joe Biden? Or is it a fluke as far as Joe Biden is concerned? We're going to talk about that with Ed, so stay tuned for that. And apparently Americans are not hungering for another rematch between Biden, Joe Biden, and Donald Trump for president. New poll out. We'll talk about that and some other things a little bit later in the show with the proprietor of the Barber Poll, Andrew Ceresi. So stay tuned for that as well. And now the Federal Reserve may be considering a launch of the digital dollar. Yes, the Federal Reserve. We're going to take a look at that as well. That would certainly legitimize digital currency. Would it not? And in our ultimate top 10, we have a good one. You know, with all the NFL playoff games going on, we thought we'd check on the top 10 NFL players with the most Super Bowl rings. We'll see how many Big Ed knows. He fancies himself a football expert. We'll find out. By the way, Freedom Works is sponsored in part by Andrew's Master Barbershop, located in the Overcash Plaza. Please get in there. Man, you want the best haircut in Tampa Bay. I'm telling you, it's Andrew's Master Barbershop. It is located in Dunedin, just north of State Road 580 Main Street on Overcash Drive in the Overcash Plaza. Call first for your appointment, please. 727-733-3773. All right. Well, it's good to be back, Ed. I know you missed me terribly. And we got a lot of catching up to do. Let me ask you, first of all, because of his passing, Meatloaf, were you familiar with his music? Because you used to do a lot of DJ work.
Yeah, but I mean, I was in a dance club, and that really wasn't high on the list. Occasionally, well,
they don't dance to many of the Meatloaf songs.
Yeah, I mean, you heard the song. It's not much. But occasionally play the song. I grew up with the song, too. I grew up with Meatloaf.
Sure.
Is it me? It just seems like we've gone on a rash of people dying.
We have gone on a rash of people dying.
Or are we just getting older, and the people that we know are getting older?
That's true.
And that happens, you know?
That's exactly right.
I mean, when you're 15 years old, all your buddies are 15, nobody really dies. Unless it's something tragic.
No, it's exactly
but
right.
But when you get up there, the people you grew up with and the people that you know that start dropping, and the actors, you know, I mean, Betty White was a freak. To be almost 100 years old.
Yeah, she just missed it.
You know, but still, I mean, we've got guys like Clint Eastwood and, you know, that are 91.
We got a lot of guys that are up there, yeah.
But it just seems like it's just a rash lately. And
no, I think there has been a rash of well-known people that have died. There's no question about it. And it's interesting how many died in December or around New Year's and Christmas.
Yeah, and I mean, And since in light of Ed Golly, because he'll be on, if Trump were in office, this would have been Trump's fault. All these people are dying.
Because of COVID. Ed's got a good sense of humor.
Because of COVID, all these people dying was probably Trump's fault.
Well, we'll ask him if he would have said that, but Ed Golly's got a good sense of humor. And we like Ed Golly. And we like Joe Reinhart. We like listening to the Voice of Reason, which is every Thursday, 10 to 11. We don't always agree with them, but we like them. Anyway, speaking about death and life, the March for Life takes place today, January 21st, Washington, D.C. Thousands of pro-life advocates are participating in this peaceful protest. It's occurred each year ever since Roe versus Wade in 1973, that decision from the Supreme Court. These are the pro-lifers. They want to protect the unborn. 49th year of the march. It ends in front of the Supreme Court building. And a lot of the pro-lifers are taking heart in the current makeup of the Supreme Court about this Mississippi law that the Supreme Court is looking at, Dobbs versus Jackson Women's Health Organization. It's a law that bans abortion after 15 weeks. It's before the court. And it can, in some ways, increase the likelihood that the Roe versus Wade decision could be severely impacted, possibly ultimately taken off the books. But one of the people that is at the March for Life is Alveda King. She is an evangelist. She's a niece of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. And she said, "Human life begins in the womb. For 49 years, the flawed ruling of Roe versus Wade has denied preborn babies the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness." And I could not agree more.
And was this a peaceful march?
Yes, it's a very peaceful march.
How about that?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, no businesses are looted or burned?
No.
Okay.
No businesses are looted or burned.
How about that?
There's a few signs that are out there that's peaceful. And it's kind of a memorial to all of the unborn children that were aborted. And the hope that we can end that gruesome practice. And we salute them. Speaking of the Supreme Court and abortion, they dealt a setback to abortion providers in the Texas heartbeat law. The Supreme Court rejected a request to remand Texas' six-week abortion law. It's another setback for advocates who have been fighting to strike down the measure. Justices Sotomayor, Elena Kagan, and Stephen Breyer dissented from the others, which returns the issue to a state court for additional procedural determination. The bill, known as a heartbeat law, has fueled the fiery abortion debate and prompted speculation about the court's disposition towards Roe versus Wade. The court has allowed the Texas law to remain in place, so there you go. Planned Parenthood is all upset about it. And the CEO of Planned Parenthood said, "Once again, the Supreme Court has betrayed the people of Texas, who have been callously stripped of their constitutional right to abortion for more than 4 months now." All right, well, let us take our break. And when we come back, Ed Golly of The Voice of Reason, as we talk about inflation and the cost of gas.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Guys, a well-groomed appearance is the first thing people will notice about you after a stop at the best barbershop in Tampa Bay. Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin is that very place, and they've specialized in the art of men's haircutting for decades. They're located in the Overcash Plaza, just north of State Road 580 Main Street on Overcast Drive. Andrew's Master Barbershop, open Tuesday through Saturday. Just call for your appointment, 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773. Andrew's Master Barbershop.
Caregivers find the support they need on Connecting Caregivers Radio with Linda Burhans, the gal who cares for the caregiver. Heard every Friday from 1 to 2 p.m., Linda and her caring and knowledgeable guests will bring you education, information, and resources, as well as a shoulder for caregivers. That's Connecting Caregivers Radio with Linda Burhans, the gal who cares for the caregiver, where you can find help and hope every Friday from 1 to 2 p.m. right here on the Tantalk Radio Network.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
We are back on a Friday, January the 21st. Boy, this month is flying by. And delighted to have the venerable co-host of the Voice of Reason, Ed Golly, joining us this morning. We thank him for joining us and coming on to talk about something that, a very interesting issue these days, of course, the inflation that we are all seeing occurring, and the cost of, the price of gasoline. My goodness, those are two things that are kind of scaring the people of this country right now. Ed, welcome to Freedom Works.
Thanks, it's fun to be here.
It's our pleasure to have you, Ed, and I know that you have an interest in this topic, and of course, poor Joe Biden. I watched his press conference Wednesday night. I don't know if you want to comment on how he performed. Let me just ask you. He did stay up there for quite a while. He took a lot of questions. Do you think he did a good job?
2 hours. Well, to tell you the truth, I only heard about 20 minutes of it.
Oh.
And one thing I noticed was that when a reporter would ask him two questions at the same time, and instead of separating them and waiting for his answers, he'd answer the second question and then forget to go back.
I can do that myself, unless I write them down. It's easy to do. I don't blame him for that.
I heard excerpts from it, and I also heard Kamala Harris excerpted when she was talking to Savannah Guthrie. She was asked if she interpreted Biden's concerns about the integrity of the 2022 midterm elections as indicating that he suspects that they won't be fair elections or that there will be election fraud. And she avoided the question. I would have come right out and said, heck yes, there's going to be problems, because you've got these legislatures in 19 states passing laws that are going to allow them to simply overrule the will of the voters.
Okay. Well, Jen Psaki came out with a different answer. She said that Joe Biden does not think there will be a problem.
I know it, and I don't know what he's thinking.
Uh-huh.
He's trying to pass the bills to set federal standards for elections in all the states, which I think we should, because we can't depend on states to do it fairly.
Well, that we can discuss at another show, yeah. But I do want to get us over to the topic at hand, and they are two things, actually. One is this god-awful inflation. And the second is the price of gasoline. Now, you know that whoever is in the White House, no matter if they're responsible for it or not, they're gonna get some of the blame. It just sticks to them. That's just the way things are. So let me ask you, Ed, do you think that Joe Biden is responsible in any way for the cost of our gas at the pump or for the rise in inflation?
I think not. I think it's just a knee-jerk reaction, and I never hear anybody explain what he did to cause inflation or cause increases in oil prices or gasoline prices, nor do I hear him tell us what we should or he should do to reverse it. I never hear anybody say anything about that. All they say is because Biden's in power, we've got inflation. Why?
Well, what do you think was the first, one of the first things he did was to shut down pipelines here in this country? Do you think that that helps? Do you think that helps the cost of gasoline when you have less U.S. gasoline flowing in this country, as he's wont to do? Because he's concerned about, supposedly, he's concerned also about fracking. So we're slowing down the fracking, especially on government property. Now, We're becoming oil dependent again on other countries. Something we were getting out of with Donald Trump.
But what he really did, and all he did with regard to pipelines, was to revoke the permit to construct the Keystone XL pipeline.
Why?
Which essentially didn't exist.
Why did he do that?
Well, first of all, the native people didn't want it over their land. Second of all,
the native people didn't want it.
We really do. We were actually exporting oil. We're one of the top three oil producers in the world. The problem is at the refineries, they're not keeping up with the demand because after the coronavirus, then the demand came back up, and they're playing catch up. But the oil prices, even that domestically produced oil. Is sold for is based on world markets, which is controlled primarily by OPEC.
Yeah, but here in this country, we are now more dependent on oil from other. Do you know that we're also apparently buying oil from Russia?
Yes, but there's no.
That's an embarrassment. That's an embarrassment. We don't need to buy oil from other countries.
Why? What's wrong with buying?
Because we can pump our own oil. We've got enough oil to easily provide for this country. And we've got fracking. And yet the Democrats don't want pipelines. They don't. They'll find an excuse because they want to cut back. Let's be honest, Ed. Democrats and liberals do not want the country to be independent on oil. They want to shut down oil. They want to go to electric, and they'll shut it down. And no matter what happens to people when they start shutting down oil production in this country, they don't care. And that's true. They don't. They want us to become independent of oil.
Well, let me ask you this: if you're the CEO of Shell Oil, and oil is selling for $80 a barrel on the world market, are you going to go out and start producing it to sell it for $65 in the U.S.?
Well,
because you're a patriot? Because if you
know
that, you're going to be standing in an unemployment line next year. Shell Oil doesn't care what you and I pay for a gallon of gas. They're going to charge world market price.
Of course they are.
Okay.
In a capitalistic economy? Sure.
Where it's produced. It doesn't make any difference. We have plenty of oil and gasoline. The price has gone up because the refineries are trying to keep up with the demand.
Well, the price of oil is going up because we are also shutting down the ways that we can create the production of oil in this country.
But where did Biden come in and order that? He doesn't.
Is Biden allowing fracking wherever possible? Biden wants to shut down fracking. It's a process of by the way, it's a fairly clean process of getting oil, but he wants to shut that down along with all of the pipelines. And then he opens up the pipeline between Germany and Russia. Now, figure that one out.
Well,
he helps open it up, I should say.
He helped open it up.
Yeah.
And as far as electric vehicles, he didn't mandate that the U.S. auto producers and the major auto producers in the world are going to only be selling electric cars by 2035. That's all they're going to produce. He wasn't even in office when they made that decision.
Who made the decision to sell only?
They did.
Who? That they're only going to sell electric cars?
They have committed to eliminating the production of internal combustion engine cars by
2035.
Yeah.
So Ford, General Motors,
yes,
are not going to be producing.
Yeah.
Oh, that's nonsense.
But they made that decision.
Yeah. Well, that's not you know, and I know that they'll still be producing gas producing vehicles in 13 years. They're going to. We just know that. Whether or not they make this, that is a gesture that they're winking and nodding at. You know that.
You're already seeing advertisements on TV for, like, this Ford pickup truck, right? You can take it out to a construction site and run your power equipment off of it. These things are going to catch on pretty fast when people realize how little maintenance you need to deal with on them and how many different applications you can use the vehicles for. So the next generation that comes along is going to wonder, why does anybody fool with these internal combustion cars? They're a problem to maintain, and
wait till you get a hold of an electric car and you start finding out all the problems you got with that.
Like what?
Well, we'll find out, right? once we get all these all-electric vehicles running around,
yeah,
I mean, it's not a panacea. By the way, they're still dependent on oil and gas.
Not necessarily.
Yeah, no. You're gonna be involved with oil and gas production. Even you got to create the electricity to run these cars.
That can be done with solar collectors. As a matter of fact, I do it. I have a solar system on my house that charges my car.
Mm-hmm.
I'm off the grid.
Well, that's good. I salute you for that.
That's going to be common, not the exception.
We're talking with Ed Golley and having a very spirited discussion this morning. He is the co-host of The Voice of Reason. You can hear it 10 to 11 a.m. Eastern Time here on the Tantalk Radio Network every Thursday. Ed, let's get over to inflation for a moment.
Why is Biden responsible for that?
How much does the federal government need to throw into people's pockets before inflation starts to set in? When you have all of these dollars chasing few, you know the old saying that it's too many dollars chasing too few goods. When you've got that going on, the cost of the product goes up.
Right.
And that's what we have right now. And we started throwing all of these checks out during this COVID thing, sending all of these checks. And also it went on during the Trump administration as well. I think, I think the whole idea of sending free money out to people is stupid. And I think it's a way of increasing the cost, or I should say increasing our inflation. Now we've got all of these ships. They can't seem to get the supplies over to the stores, so we have too few goods in the stores. That helps to cause inflation as well.
And you know why? Because the trucking industry was deregulated so that the fees that the drivers get to drive have dropped so drastically that they don't want to drive the trucks anymore and move the products off the docks to the distribution centers. That's really what's causing the problem. The supply chain hasn't been interrupted. All the supplies are sitting on the ships, and they can't unload them.
Yeah, they can't unload them. But deregulation isn't going to raise the cost of any product. It generally lowers the cost. You don't want the federal
government lowering the cost, the price of transportation. The income to the drivers is getting so low that they decide they'd rather do something else besides drive trucks. There's plenty of...
So you're saying it's drivers that aren't showing up to drive the trucks, and that's the only reason?
Exactly.
No, I don't think so. There's a lot more to it. And by the way, deregulation, when does getting the federal government out of regulating stuff ever raise the price? Are you kidding? Every time the federal government gets involved in a free market product, the price has to go up. You know why? Because you got a third party you got to pay off. The middleman is the federal government. People get jobs in the federal government to administer the regulation. You got to pay them, and that's why less federal government intrusion in any of this is going to bring down the cost of the product, and it'll get the cost. It'll get the product to you even sooner.
But then why isn't it working? Because
we have too much federal regulation.
Oh, see, I don't agree.
If
the fees that the drivers are paid to move the product were higher by
regulation... So you're going to regulate the price now. You're going to regulate the price.
Huh. If you did that, that would move the product.
I see. And who's going to decide a fair price?
To move the truck. Pardon?
Who's going to decide a fair price?
The government did it before.
Oh, the government in general. Some guy sitting in the back of an office is going to decide what a trucker should be paid to transport the product.
Exactly.
How about you allow the trucker and the company that makes the product that he's going to ship? How about you allow them to work it out without having the federal government intervening? What's wrong with that?
The products aren't moving.
It's not because
the evidence of what happens when you do that is staring you right in the face. You can't get the products off the
There are plenty of people out. That are more than well. Here's another
there
thing.
There's a shortage.
Here's another reason. they're not allowing a kid, people 18 years old to drive the trucks in certain states. You got all of these different things going on. The less regulation, you're going to have all kinds of people that are going to be delighted to ship the product and get paid for it. Just allow the free market to work.
Not when they don't get paid a reasonable
wage. Oh, here we go again. Reasonable.
Money doing something else. Yeah, that's why they.
And then you go back to setting an artificial amount, but set by somebody in Washington. Well, that's crazy.
Minimum wages, isn't it? Well, I mean, what did people work for 100 years ago in this country? They worked 12-hour days, 5 days a week, 8 hours on Saturday to make just enough money to live in a slum their whole lives. New York was full of them. That's all.
Ed, it's not the federal government that...
Because the government didn't have any kind of regulation for wages. Once they came in and established the minimum wage and the 40-hour work week, what happened? You had a thriving middle class.
Ed, you can...
The government decided what you should pay for late.
The federal government is not needed to decide what people should be paid. You had unions, you had all kinds of things that were created to help represent people when it came to getting a decent wage. You don't need the federal government to look. What is federal minimum wage nonsense, where the federal government should all of a sudden decide what this, if I'm working in Wyoming rather than New York City, I don't need as much money. So I don't need this federal wage which goes across the country and is required by everybody in every state. It's nonsense. That is not the function of the federal government to begin with, to set wages for people. That's nonsense.
Paul, don't you think that the government is reactionary? In other words, it set the wages because labor was being so exploited. We had so many labor strikes. We had laborers being shot by the Pinkerton people. And
But you know what? You don't need the federal government to solve this.
You remember how New York was in the 60s.
Ed, you don't need the federal government to solve these things you're talking about. It's not the federal government's responsibility.
Problems exist in the first place, because the corporations are always going to pay as little as they can for labor. They look at labor as a liability. They want to.
Now you're going down this socialist road where capitalists are monsters that want to do as much.
The history of this country, we've been exploiting
capitalism.
You ever hear of slavery? You think that's not exploitation of labor?
It was, but that's a different subject.
Of course it was. They'd have kept doing it as long as they needed it.
They.
Plantations.
Every
country in the hemisphere had slavery.
Let's go back to capitalism. Is it something you're uncomfortable with?
I think it worked best.
You prefer socialism?
I think pure capitalism is not the best system for it.
But pure socialism is okay.
Neither. I think you should take the best out of each.
And who's to decide?
That's what a government's for.
The federal government is supposed to be. Oh, I see.
Aren't our public
I thought our country was based on individual freedom. Excuse me for forgetting that it should be a combination of capitalism and socialism, right? Is that what you're saying?
That's exactly what I think. That'll give you the best system.
Oh, that's nonsense.
Public schools, socialist system?
Yeah.
I don't have any kids I've put through this.
You want
more than my neighbor for them.
You know why our country was founded? To get away from this top-down government. Did you know that? Did you know that they came out of England and all these other places knowing how people were stamped on when you had top-down government? So they created a government here where the individual was free. They wanted to give the individual the right to freedom.
And what
individual freedom. And they didn't want a top-down...
People, Paul. They enslaved people. Oh. They were working for zero.
Now you keep bringing back the slavery issue. That was a common practice across the world. And it wasn't just a handful of American founding fathers. It was a bad practice across the world. It was a bad practice across the world.
It was part of capitalism.
It was
white labor, and it was wrong.
Absolutely, yeah. But don't fall back on that and then try to say, because we're not practicing slavery with black people anymore. They're not okay.
But dangerous our working conditions were in this country 100 years ago.
Well, okay, but you keep
kids
going back
were
to
working
the...
in sweatshops and getting killed, and people in steel mills were dying every day because the working conditions.
You are
were so
looking
bad.
For a reason the, for the gov for the federal government to take control
that.
Of labor.
Yes,
of
only the government could initiate the regulations.
It's the government that has been
and give them a decent wage.
Yeah.
And they all said the same thing you do. Oh, if we give these people a minimum wage, we'll all go out of business.
I didn't say that.
The people of
I didn't say that. Now, don't put words in my mouth. I said that.
We still did that. We still put in a minimum wage. We put in a 40-hour work week.
But that's
became the most productive.
Do you think that the federal government should set a minimum?
Regulations.
Okay.
But it made for safer working conditions and gave us a better a living standard for our middle class. That's what it did for us.
You know what? We would have gotten even better.
Corporations wouldn't do that on their own. Otherwise, the government never would have needed to step in and do it.
The federal government's job is not to get involved. Here's what the federal government's job is. The federal government's job is to protect this country from their enemies, secure our borders, coin our money, and establish a court system. And the court system is to come into play when people are wronged by other people in this country, whether it's through capital, through businesses, or whatever it is. Everything else is remanded to the states. You don't need the federal government creating a minimum wage. If Florida wants to create a minimum wage, that's their business. If Wyoming wants to do it, that's their business. If New York State wants to do it, fine. But I don't want the federal government saying, here. And who and how do they know what the right minimum wage is for people in Wyoming or North Dakota or New York City?
It's that hard to figure out.
Oh, right.
Jeez.
So you don't need the federal government to do that, and it's not their responsibility.
You don't. We could work. We could have our employees work like they do in Bangladesh in an unsafe fire hazard sweatshop.
No. That's why that's not,
what we did 100 years ago.
We don't have that.
Involved.
We don't. Have
You're
that.
Right, and why? Because the government
no, because
has
we've
certain standards for safety, for OSHA, for minimum wages, for work week hours, all because the government came in.
The federal, you talk about the federal government.
Well, state governments do it.
State governments is a different story. I'm talking about the federal governments. That's not their job.
With them doing that.
You don't want the federal government. You want a weak federal government and strong state governments. You don't want a strong federal government and weak state governments. You want it the other way around. The federal government has forgotten what its job is, what the Constitution says it can do. Why do you think we have the Ninth and Tenth Amendments that tried to make the point that whatever we have not designated as the responsibility of the federal government is remanded to the states or the people themselves? They wanted to seal that off.
Well, I'll tell you.
The more federal government, you know, now they're running television and radio stations. What? This is nonsense. This is not what they were intended to. This is not what they were supposed to be. We got along fine in this country. We were number one in the world all these years without the intrusion of the federal government into all kinds of things. And they've stuck their camel's head into the different free market the different industries that we've had, the worse it's become, the more expensive it's become. Look at education. Look at the cost of health care. All the things that it gets involved in, it becomes more expensive. It becomes less effective. That's just the truth of it.
Let's take a look at something like the auto industry. How would you have individual states determine whether you need seat belts or safety glass in an auto?
You
couldn't do that.
You've got a federal
standard. And if you didn't have those standards, cars wouldn't come with seat belts. People would still be...
You seem to think that somehow these companies can't figure out a way to deal with the needs of each state and create cards for them. They certainly can. They don't need the federal government establishing a one-size-fits-all standard. That's not true.
I don't know.
They're going to create a product. If they don't create a good product or a safe product, they'll be sued in court by people.
Why? If they're not required.
And that'll turn it around.
If they're not required to produce a safe car, what would your grounds for suing them be? You have the option to buy a car without seatbelts or airbags or safety glass.
Well, I tell you what, we're going to have to.
You're allowed to do that. What would your basis for a lawsuit be if you get killed in that car?
Yeah.
Or your survivors? You wouldn't have any foundation for it.
No, you need
to violate any laws.
The reason that the federal government does not have to be involved in those things is because we've set up a federal court system and also a local and state court system where you can take your grievances like this to them. It's not the federal government's job. It is not.
If they didn't violate any regulation, if the government doesn't require a seatbelt in the car, and you buy a car without a seatbelt, how can you then turn around and say the auto manufacturer was responsible for my safety?
Because
you had the option to buy a car with a seatbelt and an airbag and decided you wanted to save the money.
Well, anyway, Ed, I've got to cut it short because we've gone way over what we were hoping to do. And it's my fault for not keeping it on subject.
Okay.
All right, Ed. Listen, thank you very much for coming on. I really appreciate it this morning. Best to you.
Thanks. Same to you.
All right. All right, let's take a short break and get our buddy, Andrew the Master Barber. Poor guy, he's been waiting behind the curtain all this time. Guys, a well-groomed appearance is the first thing people will notice about you after a stop at the best barbershop in Tampa Bay. Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin is that very place, and they've specialized in the art of men's haircutting for decades. They're located in the Overcash Plaza, just north of State Road 580 Main Street on Overcash Drive. Andrew's Master Barbershop, open Tuesday through Saturday. Just call for your appointment, 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773. Andrew's Master Barbershop.
Are you a writer, inventor? Do you have questions about your intellectual property rights? Well, tune in every Tuesday and Thursday morning at 11 o'clock for Joy on Paper. Once a month, I will have a special guest, the writer's legal eagle, Bill Larson of Larson & Larson, who can answer your questions. Protect your valuable work. Email me your questions to patsy.radio@gmail.com and then listen in every Tuesday and Thursday at 11 a.m. right here on Tampa Bay's Tan Talk Radio Network. That's patsy.radio@gmail.com.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back. We went on a little longer than we should have, Ed. My fault for getting a little bit off the topic, but we'll continue discussions with Ed Gawley and Joe Reinhart, Voice of Reason, from time to time, and I was very delighted and thank him for coming on this morning. In the meantime, it appears that most Americans are not hoping to see a President Biden versus Donald Trump rematch in 2024. Only 28% of Americans questioned in an APNORC national survey conducted over the past week said they want Biden to seek a second term. And that includes just 48% of Democrats. But Trump, according to the poll, just 27% of Americans would like Trump to seek a return to the White House in 2024, 56% of Republicans. So we've got the proprietor of the Barber poll with us, Andrew Ceresi. And Andrew, sorry that we're bringing you on a little later than usual here, but what do you think about this feeling by the public that they don't want to see Biden and Trump in a rematch?
Well, nobody wants to see Biden because he's only got a 12% approval rating among the job he's doing. Okay?
Yeah.
As far as Trump, I don't know where they're getting their figures from because everybody I talk to wants him back. So,
well, most Republicans do, but you apparently are only talking to Republicans.
I don't know. I don't know what they are. I don't ask them.
Anyway, it says 27% overall of Americans would not want to see Trump run again. I'm wondering. I think there is a big negative on Trump, and as opposed to some other people that might run. But at the same time, you know, Trump has got he's got hold of the Republican Party. Still, a lot of people are following him, but he's not really a conservative. You know, he's more than willing to spend lots and lots of money. He's kind of a populist.
It'll come down to this. The people are going to see, they're seeing what Biden's going to do. They see what Trump did. It's going to be that simple. Okay, who else is going to do the job that Trump did that brought this country where it was? Apparently nobody. The five presidents before him couldn't do it, be it Democrat or Republican.
Yeah, but you and I have
talked. See what happens with that.
I think Ron DeSantis is going to, there's going to be a lot of pressure for Ron DeSantis to run.
Ron DeSantis isn't going anywhere. Will you guys get this out of your freaking head?
I'm saying there's a lot of pressure.
He's not going to run in 2024 if Trump runs.
You know what I saw last night? I was watching TV, and this commercial started out with, it seemed a little wishy-washy about, you know, America getting stronger and coming back. And then Tom Hanks came on. And
yeah,
I was like, I'm like, uh-oh, here we go. And sure enough, it ended with Biden touting how he's taking control of the virus and the people are coming back and America is building stronger. Nothing about the border, nothing about the economy, nothing about inflation. And that was the first one I've seen. But it is getting ready for midterms, so that's why that thing is
going. Exactly.
Yeah. They can keep, you know, and enough of what you, I was listening to this whole thing with you and Ed, okay?
Ed Golly,
Let me clarify one thing about this electric car crap, okay? The one difference between an electric car and a gasoline-powered car is the engine, period, the motor, okay? They all have their steering mechanism, they all have wheel bearings, they all got ball joints, they all got transmissions, they got air compressors, they got tie rods. They're all going to have the same problems. I don't care if it's electric or it's gas. Now, you got a washing machine with an electric motor? Does it go? Yes. You got a heater with an electric motor? Does it go? Yes. They will have the same problems mechanically with an electric car that they have with a fossil fuel car. Period. End of conversation.
Yeah, no, you're right. It makes sense.
Okay?
Yeah.
Period.
Yeah,
no,
I mean,
question about it.
Somebody made a good case, better than I did, about the fact that you would still need oil and gasoline, regardless, to create the electricity in the long run that needs to be placed into the cars.
You need oil to produce the body of the cars, composite.
Boy.
Another thing, I want to know what Ed did for a living that he's so bad against. He's so dead against capitalism because. Apparently, he's got a $30,000 solar system on the roof of his house. He drives a $60,000-$70,000 car. So he must have done something to produce capitalism or capital for him to get these things right off. I'm curious.
Well, you know, it's interesting. People that aspire to be to bring socialism to the country, most of these people that you see on TV talking about it, actually live quite the opposite in real life.
The ones with the money.
They're the ultimate capitalists, you know?
I was just...
the money.
When he brought up the point about he has a whole solar system and he's off the grid and he charges his car, the problem is, for you and I, if we've got a car, are we supposed to just pull into the Circle K and ask him where the solar panels are so I can charge my car real quick? And by the way, give me a couple of cases of coffee. I got 4 hours to burn while it charges up.
You have a good book I can read?
Yeah.
There's a purpose for everything. I believe in electric cars. I believe in fossil fuel cars. They all have a purpose.
Right.
And they're all going to break down. The human body breaks down. They're going to do the same thing.
The human body
is the best piece of machinery ever put together, and it breaks down.
You're right. Ultimately, they all break down. Now, Ed Golly was making a point about, for instance, as long as we're staying on the subject of cars, about how the federal government stepped in and demanded that all cars produce seatbelts and airbags and whatever else.
No, it wasn't the federal government. It was Ralph Nader.
I know. Well, what I was going to say.
Okay? And as far as going back 100 years ago with labor, if it wasn't for unions, you wouldn't be where you were today.
Yeah, right.
When it comes to the safety, period.
That's what I was trying to say about unions. You don't need the federal government. Some idiot in the federal government says, okay, here's what we're all going to do. That's crazy. It's so crazy.
And you're listening to a person who's never done a minute of manual labor in their life. Mm-hmm. They have no clue of what's going to... Listen, 90% of the politicians we got in Washington are morons. They couldn't use a flathead screwdriver to do anything.
I got to ask you about the disastrous press conference that Joe Biden, I shouldn't just say that. That's it being a little bit prejudiced. Did you watch any of it?
Yeah, I watched the whole thing, and I sat there and laughed, watched every gaffe. The guy is incompetent moron, period.
I guess that pretty much sums it up.
See, that is a moron. This is the people running our country today. You wonder why we're in a mess? You wonder why there's shortages? It all boils down to one thing. It's called fuel. The price of fuel is so high that the drivers can't afford. They have to process a piece of meat. It's moved five times in a truck.
You're right.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
It all boils down to fuel. It all boils down to Biden. He did it. He closed down the fracking. He shut down pipelines, period. Mm-hmm. It is all Biden's fault.
I want to ask you, if I could, about this Ukraine-Russia border situation.
Biden gave him permission to go the other day, as long as it's a little bit, he said. I heard him.
It looks like Putin is I mean, look, if it walks and quacks like a duck, it's a duck. He's got all of these troops assembled on that border. He's not doing that by accident. He's doing that on purpose.
Well, you got to be stupid not to think anything else.
Yeah.
You think he's put on a show?
Yeah, exactly.
No, let me tell you something.
This is why I'm worried. I'm worried about this because Biden is such an income poop. He doesn't know what to do.
Well, here's your simple answer to that one. In 2016... when Trump got elected, oh, he's going to get us into a war. We're going to get destroyed. Here comes another war. We had no war. We didn't have any soldiers killed, nothing.
Yeah.
Well, guess what Biden's going to do, buddy? We're going to go to war.
Yeah.
And guess what? We're going to get the crap beat out of us this time because we got a woke army. We got an army again that has broken down machinery because they didn't get a chance to replenish it all. Plus that, Biden left 3/4 of our supplies in Afghanistan.
I wonder what Trump would have done under the circumstances if he saw a threat like this from Putin. I mean,
would you even ask?
Because I'm just curious how he would handle
it. It would have been simple. It would have been just like when Trump sat there and told him in the Middle East, you touch one of our soldiers, we're going to annihilate you.
Mm-hmm.
And then he meant it.
Yeah.
And they knew it. Biden, they know, is an idiot. He's a little wussy. He doesn't know what he's doing. He has no backbone. He's never done anything in his life like any other freaking politician we've got in Washington. Isn't that what you want? Not me.
What I would like, you know what I would, I was thinking about this, I'll run it by you. I would get all the NATO countries to send a certain number of troops from each of their countries over to that Ukrainian border. The United States, France, Britain, Germany, all the other countries, and assemble them on the other side and say, all right, you've got 100,000 Russian troops on this side. We got 200,000 NATO troops over here. We don't want you crossing over. I think something like that would stop him because he doesn't want a world conflict. But
Trump came up with those phrases that would knock it right out of the sky. I mean, you got to remember the kick their ass, take their gas. I mean, that started it.
Mm-hmm.
And then with North Korea, when that fat little guy started running around lofting missiles, he said, listen, that keeps up and you'll be known as the parking lot, formerly known as North Korea.
Yeah. Well, that was the thing about Trump. You didn't know if indeed he might want to, you know, go ahead and be that way. I've got to end the conversation. I wish we could continue this. But Andrew, thank you so much, my friend. I'm going to talk with you again on Monday, and let's see what the weekend brings.
You got it, buddy. Be good.
Thanks so much. All right. We're going to have to go right into our top 10. And I did want to get real quickly, though. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers are hosting the San Francisco 49ers.
No.
They're not.
The Los Angeles Rams.
Oh, the Rams. Why am I saying the 49ers? They're going to Green Bay.
Yes.
I apologize. I got the wrong California football team. What do you think about that game?
Louis Anderson just died, too, by the way.
No kidding. Oh, yes.
68.
He was 68 years old. Wow. Mm-hmm. They are going, dropping like flies. Wow. Anyway, real quick, Bucks going to beat the Los Angeles Rams.
I'm going to say no in hopes
really?
Of it happens that they do.
Why?
I think too many injuries. I'm not sure.
Okay.
It's going to be really close. They're going to have to steal this one. And I just want to say real quickly,
yeah.
I told you so about the Tampa Bay Rays. I want to say that. I've been saying
what,
that for a year
what?
Now that Stu Sternberg is not going to be allowed to do this half season here, half season there.
Okay.
Major League Baseball said, it's not
they
happening.
Did. Yes, they did. You're right.
So.
And he was thinking of going with half the games in Montreal.
Yeah.
I thought that was stupid to begin
with. Yeah, and then
with.
Pryor Smith says, I don't know what he's talking about, a new stadium, because they're not going to give him a new stadium up here.
For half the season?
That's
I
right.
I don't think so.
That's right.
All right. Speaking of sports, top 10 players with the most Super Bowl ring. We're going to make this very simple. Did you know, Ed, that there are about 33 players, and I'm not kidding, with four Super Bowl rings?
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, the most is five, probably five, six.
There's only two players that have more.
Yes. Yeah.
So before we do that, let me just tell you the ones with four. Ted Hendricks, Marv Fleming, Matt Millen, Bill Romanowski, Adam Vinatieri, Joe Montana, Keena Turner, Eric Wright, Mike Wilson, Ronnie Lott, Jesse Sapolu, Terry Bradshaw, Franco Harris, Lynn Swann, John Stallworth, Mel Blount, Jack Ham, Mike Webster, Donnie Shell, Elsie Greenwood, Rocky Blyer, a lot of those are Pittsburgh Steelers,
yes.
by the way, Jerry Mullins, Larry Brown, Mike Wagner, J.T. Thomas, Lauren Tews, John Kolb, Sam Davis, Steve Furness, Dwight White, Randy Grossman, and Mean Joe Green. Those are, they, all of them have.
It's like the Steelers' entire roster.
Yeah, okay. There are two players that have more.
Mm-hmm.
So we're actually down here to the final two. Do you have any idea who both of them are? I don't want you to tell me who's number one. I'm going to ask you to tell me who has five, if you know. And
I want to say somebody like Charles Haley.
Roll the drum.
Because he won with the Cowboys, then he went to San Francisco.
Roll the drum. You're right.
Huh. Okay.
Absolutely right. It's Charles Haley. And here's the years. 89, 90, 93, 94, and 96. He won Super Bowls.
Yep.
Wow. All right, Ed.
And then the top guy.
Who is the one that has the most Super Bowl rings?
There's this guy. He's like 138 years old right now.
Yes, he is.
And he's
still
such a slouch. I mean,
yeah.
You know, you give him 2 minutes left in the game, and he takes the ball down the field and puts it in the end zone.
Yeah, I don't know. He's no good. He's no good.
What's his name? Giselle? No, that's his wife.
No.
Tom.
Yeah.
Tom Bunch. It goes wrong with Brady.
All
Brady
right.
Bunch. Brady.
There you
that's
go.
It. There you go.
He's got seven Super Bowl rings. He's quarterback in the Tampa Bay Bucks this weekend. By the way, are they playing on Saturday or Sunday?
Sunday at 3 o'clock.
Okay. Here are the years. 2002, Super Bowl. 2003, Super Bowl. 2005, 2015, 2017, 2018, and 2020. He's also played in Super Bowls where he's lost a couple, right?
Yes, and do you know the only team to break up the Patriot run in 2001 to 2003 would be the Tampa Bay Bucks.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, that's right.
Yep, because they won in 2002.
With John Gruden as coach, right?
Yes. Yes.
Very interesting. All right, thank you so much, everybody. Thanks for listening. We will be back on Wednesday. Remember, freedom works.
Ooh, good love, and the girl's got plenty good love.